kingdom life. I love this. The breath of eternity. I want you to absorb that. Kingdom life, of which we all, if we know him, we get the chance to participate in kingdom life. Jesus says in John, I give out eternal life to those who believe in me. So what that doesn't mean, just mean that you're going to get it when he comes back. But you can get eternal life daily. In fact, you should be experiencing eternal life daily. If you're a child of God and you are not living eternal life, you're robbing yourself because it is available. As I said, as a conservative heathen, no one would ever know this except this woman that I ended up marrying, because I wasn't saved when we first met. And so I thought I was going to become married to cocaine or pot, alcohol, a lascivious life, if you will. You all are looking at me like, I'm just giving you a little peek in my life. I know none of you all were ever there, but I'm just saying me. You might know of some people that might have been there, but that's where I was. So please understand, then Jesus came. Please understand this. There's not one breathing soul in this sanctuary right now that can tell me he's not real. Let me say that again, because if you really heard that, you'd be saying hallelujah right now. There's not one breathing. Do you all say hallelujah in here? Not really? Do you say amen in here? Oh, okay. All right, we got to take the first baby steps, right? Okay, all right, sorry. So amen is fine. We'll get to the hallelujahs maybe by the end. Listen. Not one soul in here can tell me that Jesus isn't real. And you should know that. If you belong to him, you should encounter him just that way. Yeah, because he's an intimate God. He's not just a God that sits up on a pole or whatever and that he can't be reached. He never comes down to your standard. He always raises you up to his. Oh, y'all hear what I'm saying here now? He always raises you. You think he's come down. But let me tell you how the scripture states it. He says he makes the mountains come and he raises the valleys. And that's how we walk on level ground. Now, I didn't make that up. Yeah, that's good stuff right there, isn't it? Yeah. I didn't make that up. That's in the scriptures. Yeah, so that we can walk on level ground. If you don't have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're robbing yourselves. And to have that relationship, we're going to talk about it here in a little bit, I hope, kingdom life, it's the breath of eternal life, the breath of eternity. If you can understand that everything in this room right now, to include human beings, exists because breath was released. Turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, if you will. Are you there? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. We're going to launch from here, but I guarantee you we'll probably have every scripture in the Bible before this day is over. Anyway, bear with me. Genesis chapter 2, you understand that there were some things that God had in mind. And we're going to get to some of those. But in Genesis chapter 2 is where we kind of ramped in. All right? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And there's a little semicolon there that means that there's some more to that, that is attached to that breath of life. He says, and man became a living . Well, that's all of us in this room. When God created that man, he created all mankind in that man. Okay? We'll start there. So just because you are of Asian descent means zero. White descent, zero. I want you to understand the oneness of God. The one is just all of it is in him. And all of us in here came from him. All right. Okay. So If God created us that way, and he did, I want to talk just about a few pillars, if you will, that as a believer, you should know these. Not only should you know them, you should hold fast to them like they're life and death to you. Life and death to you. Five pillars. But these are not the only ones. Out of these pillars come, mountains and mountains. You'll never be able to exhaust who God is. In fact, the Word of God says, why do you call me? Why do you ask my name? Seeing that it is so wonderful. You'll find this in Judges 13. Seeing that it is so wonderful. And that word wonderful there means it's incomprehensible. When you want to know God, just accept the fact you're only going to know and be able to know what he reveals to you. Because if he gave you all of him, you'd just blow up into a real puff and you'd be gone. And somehow he has created us that by his Holy Spirit, he can live right in our inner man. Right in our inner mind. So let's talk about those. Okay, first of all, we're going to start with God's sovereignty. In Genesis chapter 1, and hopefully, yeah, okay. I sent these to him, so I haven't seen them yet. But if you see them up, fine. If not, just write them down and listen to me. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, we find God's plan for mankind. He speaks in terms of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because he says, let us make man in our image. So there are some attributes of God that presents itself in. We have it because it's his image. Are you all listening to me? We have it because it's his image. So we were created in the image of God. Well, how wonderful is this? God is invisible. That's why I don't put a whole lot of stock in ethnicity colors. It just, I mean, that's wonderful. But the God we serve, the God you're going to spend eternity with, is invisible. But he has some powerful attributes that show up in all humanity. Shows up in me. You know what? There are some evil, wicked black people in the land. I know I'm just, you know, don't get too wrapped up around the axle here about the things I'm saying. I want you to lock in on the scriptures and where I'm going with this breath of eternity. But then again, there are some jacked up, wicked, evil Korean people, Chinese people. Don't get quiet on me now. Come on. Yeah. Spanish people. You see, it doesn't land in the ethnicity because we're all human. Acts chapter 17, he says, from one man he made all men. One man he made all men. And here's something that's going to really shake you up when you go home and talk about this over lunch. If he made one man from all men, you got some of my blood in you. Yeah, that's going to mess a lot of people up right there. Yeah. Well, I got some of yours in me too. That's all good. That's why we can't have any kind of claims that, you know, one's, anyway, you know, okay. So when we see it was God's plan in Genesis 1:26, okay? He's going to create man in his image. And then we see in Genesis 2:7 that we just read that he scooped human up from dust. Oh, this is just powerful. And if you don't believe this, I can understand, because the only way you can believe it is by the Holy Spirit revealing it to you. It happened just the way the scripture said he did it. Don't try to be a Christian over here if you can't even get with the understanding that he took dirt and made you and me. That'd be amen right there if you were tracking. Yeah, yeah. And so as he made that statue, if you will, he blew. Now, understand, when he created in Genesis chapter 2, sin didn't happen until Genesis chapter 3. So that breath that he blew into man in Genesis chapter 2 was pure and holy. Woo! The holy breath of God going through dirt. And we're wondering whether we can trust him or not. We're wondering whether we want to serve him or not. We're wondering whether we want to tithe to him or not, or give to him or not. We're wondering whether we want to practice his love with others. This is the God who said, hey, let me tell you how you got here. I shared it with you in Genesis 2:7. I took up dirt. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a mound of dirt. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't. I just want to deal with the origin here. Let's just get the source right. From dirt, he made us. Understand that. What is it that he can't do? There's nothing he can't do. And so in that, he blew holy breath into some dirt. What would he have done if he blew it into some holy people? But he blew it into dirt, people. Am I getting too excited? No. Okay. All right. So he blew it into dirt. And guess what happened to the dirt? If you don't believe this, you might as well pack up and leave now. Because I got a whole lot more stuff coming in you ain't going to believe. That dirt became a living being of which represents all mankind. On every boundary of the earth, of the universe, one man made like that. Guess what? And that one man was packing. He was packing the Holy Spirit breath of God in him. If you don't know that, you might be trying to live a life you don't even know yet. Because attached to that breath is intimacy. God is an intimate God. But he's also a sovereign God. So the first one is a sovereign God. Look at Psalm chapter 33 and verse 10 and 11. In fact, I wasn't going to read this, but I will. Tell me how I'm doing on time, because I'll be here forever. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. Let me pause here for a moment. And do not lie to me. Anybody in here ever been frustrated because what you had worked out didn't work out? Just three people? So y'all lying to me then. Okay, no. That's probably going to be everybody in here. Yeah. Why? Where did we get that plan from? Us? We can learn here. This will set some of you free this morning. God says, I nullify the counsel of the nations, the plans of people, if you will. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands how long? Can anybody tell me, because I know this is written in Hebrew. But can anybody tell me how long forever is? Don't overthink this. I ask easy questions. Forever. Forever. Absolutely. 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 Forever is forever in any language. Yeah. Okay. He says, my counsel is going to transcend generations. Generations. You don't have to worry about finding something special for young folks, something special for teenagers, something special for seniors, something special for young adults. We got plenty of canisters on the shelf. You only need the Word of God. Because the Word of God is supposed to be handed down at home and just wash that whole house out. Yeah, that's the way it goes. And for the men in the house, yes, that's right. The men in the house, it begins with us. Somebody say amen. Yeah, it begins with us. As we cover our house, I don't want you to just walk around with the label of husband. I want you to walk around, because husband is a noun. Covering is a verb. You're a husband who happens to be a covering, and that covering requires action. Covering is that you know what's yours and you know how God expects you to surround it and protect it. This is the same thing he did with Adam after he created Adam, made him, and then he sat him in the garden. Look at it, it's Genesis 2:15, I think it is. Sat him in the garden, he says, now, take care of it. God just created a beautiful sanctuary and gave it to Adam to oversee. But that's a conversation for another day. Okay, so first of all, get with the program. God is sovereign. Sovereignty means he is the only one with the perfect plan for your life and the only one whose plan will work in your life. Jeremiah 29:11, we won't go to it, but it starts out by saying, God says, I know the plans I have for you. But we're too busy trying to make our own plans work. We're pursuing wealth, we're pursuing material things, we're pursuing this, that, or the other. And I can take you right down here to Fairfax. What's that called? Not Costco. Yeah. It begins at Costco. There's a big expensive word for it. When you throw stuff at the dump. What is it? It's some kind. Well, okay, whatever that neighbor, you know what I'm talking about. All of that stuff that we are striving to acquire, most of that stuff ends up right in the landfill, or jacked up, packed up in our garages. Somebody, y'all got quiet, so I know I'm talking about the right stuff right now. Yeah. Why? Because that stuff doesn't last. Even so that you understand this from Scripture, Matthew 24 and verse 35, he says, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my word will last how long?
Forever.
Now, he said that in the New Testament, and that's in Greek. So I asked my Greek theologians, what does forever mean in the Greek?
Forever.
Forever. Got at least two in here. Yes, forever. Well, if you're serving and belong to a God like that, please tell me what in the world you are so worried about. What is it that keeps you awake at night that you can't even sleep? Most of that stuff we get overcome by never even comes to pass. The enemy knows that. All he wants you to do is take the time away from God to worry so you don't worship. Let me tell you where worship comes from. It's not from singing songs. Singing songs is a byproduct of worship. Giving is a byproduct of worship. But I only need to turn your attention to Genesis 22 when Abraham took his son Isaac over to a little mount where he was going to sacrifice Isaac. Some of you will know this story. And he told the caravan that was with him, he says, the boy and I, we're going to go over there and worship. There was no praise team, no keyboard, no choir, no drums, just him and the boy, an altar. And guess what else he had? God's word. And he was fixing to worship. So we must understand and embrace, write this down. You must accept the sovereignty of God. And whether you accept God's sovereignty or not, it's the only plan that's going to work in your life. And you know where he reveals his sovereign plan? Somebody take a guess. The word of God. The word of God. You can get his sovereign plan from the word of God. Yes, yes. Okay, secondly, there's the sacredness of God. This is so rich. Listen, is anybody getting this? Anybody getting this? Should we pack up and leave now? No. No, listen. The sacred Psalm 96 in verse 9. Worship the Lord in what? Is it there? Yeah, holy attire. Holy attire. Now, he's not talking about garb. He's not talking about that. Okay? Now, please hear this. Because there's only one place you can get this kind of attire. The holy attire for God is righteousness. You'll find it in Revelation, but he says, get righteousness to cover up all your stuff. How many of you all know you got stuff in here, if you'll be real? You got some stuff. Four people? Okay, good. This is an honest crowd. Anyway. No. We all got it. But he says, all right. So, track with me for just one moment here. Okay. This is us. Yay? This is us. This is Jesus. We accepted Jesus. Jesus accepted us because we believed and accepted and received. So in that moment, he covered us. He covered us. When the Father looks down from heaven and he looks down at you, tell me your name again.
James.
Like James? Just James. Yeah. When he looks down and he sees it, I was expecting a real rich Korean name, man, but you threw me a lump there. You're Chinese. Well, give me a... Okay. Like that changed the narrative. All right. Anyway, hey, let me give you a hug, brother, because you know. This is Jesus covering James, Chinese James. And under this, you see it moving, yay? And it should be, because while you're under and in and under Jesus, lordship is what that's called, he's transforming you. He's changing you. And sometimes this gets a little bumpier than most because we tend to fight God sometimes, don't we, people? We don't want his stuff right now, don't we, people? Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. And you can see it pressed out in just everyday stuff. But if you let Jesus have his perfect work in you, you'll begin to see the transformation. It's not on the slides, but write it down. Romans 8:29. Spend some time with that. We're being transformed to the image of God, and we're doing that under and in the blood of Christ. There's power in the blood in the name of Jesus. Okay. So there's the sacredness of holiness, the holy attire. He says, tremble before him, all the earth. That word tremble means to revere him. It doesn't mean be afraid of him, but it means to revere him, if you will. And then, I love this, when we talk about holiness and worship, he tells us best in John chapter 4 and verse 24, the Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit. And, oh, this is a studious crowd here. Yeah, spirit and in truth. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. This is good, isn't it? It's okay. Yeah. It takes, for those things, for spirit and truth, what is the common denomination? common denominator. Yeah. Thanks for that help. Yeah, for those two, for spirit and truth. What is it? Okay, let me help you because we won't be here that long. It takes breath for both. It takes breath for both. That breath is not just a physical knowledge of breath. That breath is the word of God, and he breathed into man. Everything that we are came out of that breath. Oh, okay, so let me tie that breath with the word of God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, we know what happens. You'll find these words. God said, let there be light. And then what happened? Oh, this group, I tell you what, this is seminary stuff here. Yeah. God says, let there be light, and then boom, there was light. What did God speak? Yeah, no, that's the result of what he spoke. But what did he speak? Ooh, somebody said, let me help you with, because we'll be here all day. Listen. Even if you answer and it's not the answer I'm looking for, it's okay, answer anyway, because I'm going to make it seem like it's right. All right, so we can get to where I want to get to. Somebody over here said, say it like you mean it.
Light.
So he thought light was the byproduct of what he did. And so what am I doing to you right now? And what's coming out of me?
Words.
And God said, let there be. Light was a byproduct of the word that he spoke. Let there be light. And boom, what happened? Light came.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. It took God breath to speak those words. God spoke a spirit into existence in the clump of dirt. And you will find his breath all over his word. All over his word. In fact, how many of you all kind of do a devotional? You read the Bible from time to time. I don't mean you all, but you might know some people who do. No, certainly not you all. Okay, so here's the deal. When you think you're reading the Bible, what's really happening is God's words are reading you. Why? Because they are active and alive, according to Hebrews. I believe that. You can't just sit there and read it like it's an algebra book, which I didn't do well with that at all. But you can't just sit there and read that and say, oh, yeah, I got today's devotion. Dum-da-dum-da-dum. No. That word will be all. In fact, I encourage pastors and believers, you don't have to be a pastor, be so close and intimate with Jesus every day that you can tell what he had for breakfast. He will roll up on you just like that.
Amen. That's true.
And not only that, he will test you and ask you, what did I have for breakfast?
Yes.
And if you haven't been in the intimate atmosphere, the intimate presence of God, you'll never know. And there's some rich stuff that comes out of that intimacy and being in that ambience, being in that environment with Christ. You know what? I don't even care if y'all not enjoying this. I am. All right. Psalm 150 and verse 6, he says, let everything that has, what is it supposed to do?
Praise
the Lord. Yeah, what did he give us breath for? Now, again, as I told you, it's not just for singing songs. And thank God we can worship and praise him with song. But that breath that he gave us, that breath that he blew in that dirt, that breath is for praising. We spend more time complaining about what Satan is doing than we do about the praise that we ought to be giving God. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, unfortunately, many of us know who Satan is in our home before we even recognize the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen if you understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
Yeah. Let's don't let that be happening after today. Know the Spirit of God. Yeah, I came to lift you up. That's what his Spirit does. And he lifts you up and encourages you and it strengthens you. But you don't know what's happening, Pastor. You have no idea what I'm going through. Oh, you just said the wonderful word. You have no idea what I'm going through. You didn't say I ain't going in. Because if you're going through something, he knew you were going to go through it. He provided an opportunity for you to go through it. And he is going to walk every step of the way with you through it.
Amen.
Do you know that your Heavenly Father, when he came to this earth, according to John chapter 1 and verse 12, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, do you know what he said to
I think it was Potiphar, but who cares at this point? You know what he said? He says, the grave can't hold me. You know what? If I had only one word in my vocabulary and that was hallelujah, I would have just drained it right there. Yes. Right. Yes, Lord. Listen, the majority of us in here worry about death. None of us actually want to say, I'm ready to roll. But nonetheless, there ought to be something comforting in your spirit if Jesus lives there that tells you, I have already overcome death. Death is not a finality, brothers and sisters. Death is an assigned status that you achieve when you disobey God. It could happen in a minute, Ananias and Sapphira. Yeah, could happen in a moment, but more often than not, he assigns you in the status of being dead because you're being disobedient. And we sang about it this morning. Stop asking God for revival if we're not willing to repent. Stop asking him for it. Because he's a wise guy. And he even knows I'm not going to put new wine in old wineskins. I'm not going to put a new piece of patch on an old quilt. Yeah. Repentance always precedes revival. And repentance doesn't have to be, a revival doesn't have to be on large scale. We could have a revival right in here today. And in fact, I suspect we probably already had a little bit of a revival in here already this morning. Somebody say amen if that was you. Yes. So it's his sacredness of holiness. Don't take it lightly. Don't just come in here every Sunday and think, I'm going to sing some songs and I've worshiped God. I forget now, my brother said this morning, thank you, Lord, for telling us how you want us to worship you. Don't come in here with any kind of plan, I'm going to sing this song. No. He tells us how to worship him. He tells us how to worship him. If you don't believe me, read Leviticus on your time. Read Leviticus. Read Deuteronomy. Those books are books that God tells you exactly how he wants to be worshiped. My wife will fix me something, and she'll ask me how I want it, how I want it prepared. And so, just that little principle right there, when God says, I want to be worshiped, I command worship from my children, then he tells you just how to worship him. You don't have to come up with it. Where do you suspect you will learn how to worship God? From the word. That seems to be a theme in here this morning. Yes, from the word. So there's the sacredness of worship. Then there's the superior. We only got three more, and I'll go through this quick. And get the hook when you need to. And so the superiority, lock this in your spirit. It's probably the one we want to talk most about, but the superiority of God's plan. There's the sovereignty of it. We already learned this morning that that's the only one that's going to work, which immediately makes that superior. Then there's the sacredness of that plan, which includes the holy worship of God. You know, if some of you really get this down in your spirit today, you won't want to leave this building before you repent because you already know, you know what, Pastor, I'm not there. But that's wonderful because you can get there. You don't have to leave out of here and go back to whatever it is what you were doing. And that wasn't working worth a hill of beans. Amen. Amen. Yeah. But yeah, we're going to still go back and do it. And we'll do it until next Sunday. And we'll roll back in here unchanged. Anyway, superiority to God. John 17:3. Jesus is having a prayer time with his Father. And he gives us the sum of what eternal life is. You know, we can, as believers, we can say we have eternal life. But then if somebody says, well, what in the world is that? Oh, yeah, here Jesus gives us the answer to that. Eternal life is just this. It's as simple as this. Father, that they would know you and that they would know me. In order to know someone, what do you have to do? All right, so let me ask this question. I'll ask it differently. How many of you all know George Washington? You know him? Dude. You know George Washington? Yeah. Well, you might need to hook us up. Yeah. Okay, I think there were three other hands. No, let me just, what's your name, man?
Manny.
Manny, I appreciate your answer, because that was a child's answer. You adults who raised your hand, you know better. No one in here knows George Washington, except Manny. I'm giving them a hall pass today. But we know about George Washington, right? Who in here has seen George Washington? No one. But we've seen pictures of George Washington. And we've heard things about George Washington. George Washington is not Jesus Christ. Ooh, Lord God, there's a difference. Yes, yes. And if I ask that same question, now you don't have to raise your hand. It'd be great if you could, because there's a liberty with that. But how many of you know Jesus Christ? Or how many of you just know about Jesus Christ? That sounds like noise we make when we bite into something good. Yeah, and it met our tummy just right, you know. Yeah. And we can't even speak a word. We just say, All right. So there's a superiority. Knowing God, knowing the Son. Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I come that you might have life, that's that breath, Zoe in the Hebrew, and that you might have it abundantly. Abundant life in Christ is not about quantity. It's not the eternality of quantity. It's the quality of life. It's the quality of life. Listen, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ and you have eternal life, then you should be experiencing a quality of life that's different than what this culture is offering you. And that culture doesn't have to be outside the door of your home. Somebody say amen, because I'm fixing to go into some tulips right now. Step on a few feet, and that's okay. Listen, if the quality of eternal life is not being manifested in your home and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's a home right there that's going to need some repentance. Because if that home is not in repentance, when it shows up on Sunday, it's bringing unrepentant sin right into the church. And you multiply that by however many homes are in you. God didn't call us to be perfect. He called us to be submitted to perfecting, being perfected. No perfect person in this room. I'm certainly not. But I can tell you right now, he set me free. You have to be set free to even love him. Because this kind of love you can't get out of Netflix. I mean, you might know some people that watch Netflix, but I'm just saying. This love you can't even get just from Philadelphia, the phileo type of love. You know, that brotherly love kind of stuff. No, this is agape love. Agape love is the only love that has to be taught. You just can't pick it up anywhere. You can experience it. And that's the love in which he loves us with. Jesus says, no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his. Oh, Lord. Great love. So when we talk about that superior love, knowing God, that's superior. Knowing the Son, that's superior. John 10:10. In fact, let me put it in this vernacular. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son of God has, note what it says. The adjective is important. Has the life. Yeah, adjective. Has the life. He who does not have the Son of God, what does it say? Y'all reading it? Does not have
the life.
So that stuff you're living out here without Jesus, that's not the life. That's a life. He called us to live the life. And then he equips us to live the life. You mean I got to forgive somebody? You better believe. Because he says, I need you to forgive others like I forgave you. And the reason we don't forgive others, how many of you have ever been hurt by somebody? Come on, let's be real. And how many of you have had the propensity to harbor unforgiveness in your heart? Been there, done that. And I'm telling you right now, I had that against my father because I saw alcohol destroy our home. And I harbored that as a little boy. I harbored that in my heart. And then when I came to know Jesus, did I tell you he set me free? Yeah, he sent me to the phone and said, call your father and tell him you forgive him. I'm going, what? Oh, yeah, and I marched my little brown feet right over to the phone. And I called him. Absolutely. one of the most liberating days in my life of walking with Christ. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? If you're holding on to that garbage, get rid of it, because it'll take you right down to the grave. Yeah. It ain't going to do you no good. A lot of times you say, well, you got daddy issues? No. You got mommy issues? No. You got sibling issues? No. We got all of that stuff rolling. But release it. Yes. Repent. Give it up so that he can flood you. I'm going to give you this one. It's not up there, but write it down and read it later on. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It'll make your hair, that verse will make hair grow on your head. It will. Brother, me and you, right? I wasn't thinking about you when I said that. Okay. So, but you might want to read that verse, though. But all right, so here we go. Here we go. Listen. The superiority is in Christ. It's in knowing your Father. All of us have DNA physically, but you need to get to know your spiritual DNA. And it's not in traditions, it's not in rituals, it's not in coming to church, it's not even in just doing a Bible study. I'm so sick and tired of, I'm interested in Bible living, not Bible studying. We're doing a ton of Bible studying, and we just as jacked up before we start studying as we are after. Somebody say amen if you know what I really didn't come here to preach like this today. I didn't. But you all are bringing the best out of me. I can say that right now. Yeah, because of this. I know that this word works. And I know that if we put that word in our hearts and begin to put our feet to it, it will change our life. And I'm into that. I'm into seeing. I'm like Romans when he says the whole creation is groaning, so that groaning because it's waiting for the sons of God, the true sons of God, to be revealed. Well, we don't have to just wait till the sky cracks. We can see the true sons of God right in here as you begin to live the word that's being fed to you every Sunday. This is not just a restaurant. Both of our churches have become that. We don't have any kind of unity or togetherness or fellowship of encouraging one another, whatever. We come in, we get a meal, and then we leave. Somebody say, y'all got too quiet. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, but you don't know, I'm Korean. They might not accept me. Hey, let me let you in on a secret. If you haven't figured this out, I'm black as all get out. But I belong to Jesus, and I don't care whether they don't accept me at all or not, because the one who cares for me is the one who cares about me. I don't say that arrogantly, but I mean, it's a truth of life in Christ. I'm not making this up. If you don't believe me, try it for yourself. How in the world can you tell me how wonderful a German chocolate cake is? How can you tell me? You know, the Duncan Hines box got a picture of one on there, right? But all you can do is tell me about the picture? How can you tell me how good it is? You got to first do what? Oh, yes. Oh, taste and see. Taste and see. Don't just read this. Don't just do a devotion. Don't just do a Bible study. Don't just go to Sunday school class. Taste this and see. You know, I've fallen prey to hummus. That's just full disclosure. Most people, when they go to the store, they get a dozen eggs and a loaf of bread. But my wife gets two containers of hummus that I just love. Does anybody know what hummus is? Oh, yeah. I see. I've been to the store too. Yes, I just love. And Lord, when I found out there was such a thing as hummus crackers, bet you I didn't know that. Anyway, listen, as wonderful as the superiority of God and who he is, there's the shortness. There is a shortness. I threw this S in there because you do need to at least know the urgency of what I'm telling you today. You don't have time to. Now, if you sat in here this morning and you heard what I've already preached, guess what? So did heaven. And you can't go before God and say, I never heard that before. Because you heard it today. Amen. And haven't heard you hear it today. Amen. So there's the shortness. It's designed by God. God puts boundaries on our lives, but he gives us liberty within them. You know, one of the greatest things I experienced when I saw this word come to life, we were in St. Martin not too long ago. And we're sitting out early morning. I love to be out on the beach early morning. I don't get an awful time to do it, but nonetheless, there was a mountain way in the background. And then the rays were coming in and hitting the shore. Anybody ever seen that picture? The waves come in and hit the shore. And it's a beautiful thing to see. Listen, this is what the Word of God spoke to me, because it's in there. Do you know what God did to the waves? He instructed the waves how far they can come. Ooh, 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 ooh. You're talking about breath. Now, some of y'all haven't even thought about this, but I did. I know no matter how, unless I went beyond that boundary, my feet were going to be dry as all get out. Because he instructed that wave to come only but so far. Y'all ain't hearing me. Yeah. And in the scriptures, the mountains are symbolic of testifying what creation does and what man does. The mountains are stalwart. They are stuck. They are there. And they speak to God. And God speaks to the waters and say, okay, this is as far as you can come. So I'm walking on that shore and I see these little birds with the skinny legs. When the waves come in, they are wise enough to move out of the way. But me, I had those little things. What do you call them things? Oh, here we go again. those little, yeah, well, they weren't flip-flops, but they covered the whole foot. Water shoes. See, water shoes wasn't in my vocabulary. Anyway, so probably the last thing you want to do is walk on the beach in the sand with water shoes on, because sand gets in them. And that becomes more irritable. But nonetheless, I'm going, how? The waves would come up and they would get in my water shoes. But then I realized, if I checked those birds out, those birds would, it's almost like they knew the waves were coming. And when the waves would get up to the bird, they would over here. But then I found them, they were hanging out by the line that the wave met when it was coming to shore. The wave actually etches out how far it's coming. I figure if I'm going to work out, I just need to follow that little shoreline and I'll never get any more water in my shoes. So I had a biblical education right there on the. This was God's creation, people. We got minds, we got breath, we can see, we can talk, we can hear, we can taste, and he's got creation that can do all of that. Let me take it another step. That same creation that he created knows how to praise and worship him as well. Yeah, the heavens declare the glory of God, and his firmament shows his handiwork. And guess what the scripture says? And they don't even have a voice. Glory to God. I'll say hallelujah. I got a lot of hallelujah. So if y'all run out, just let me know. Okay. So. He says in Psalm 39:5, and my lifetime as nothing, and my lifetime, this is the psalmist is saying, and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Oh, please don't lose sight of the shortness of life. God has no desire to carry you home early, but you can help him carry you home early. How is that? By the way you live. And by the way you don't live. What happens to a fig tree when it doesn't produce figs? Come on, don't fade on me now, students. Y'all been answering these questions pretty good up until now. Jesus passed by a fig tree. Well, he saw a fig tree that should have had a fig on it. Went over to get a fig. It had a leaf on it. Yes. Tell him, sister. Jesus, now not like we... He didn't curse the tree like we would have cursed it. But what that means is he told the tree that it wasn't functioning the way it designed, that he designed it. And he spoke to what? The root of the tree and said, dry up. No more figs from you ever again. Why? It was sitting there in soil, taking up nutrients, occupying space. Not that we would do that in our churches, but occupying space and producing not one fig whatsoever. We got a lot of leaves. And that leaf was just was telling Jesus, if there's a leaf, there should be a fig. Well, our church has got a lot of leaves. But we're short on figs. Don't get quiet on me in here. Figs are no more than born-again believers whose lives become the very fruit of the world. Jesus says, you are the light and salt. Light of the world, salt of the earth. He didn't say you're going to be. He says you are. And if you know him, that means you are. And like the fig tree, if you're not producing flavorful salt, if you're not producing edible figs, you got a problem. You got to check your walk out. Don't keep coming to Calvary Hill and planting in the soil here and not producing any figs. Somebody say amen. Amen. I can tell, by the way, y'all looking. Y'all never expected me to come here and talk to you all like this. I can tell that. This might be my last time here. Okay, listen, listen, listen. There's the shortness. Look at Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 22. And I, just for shortness sake, he says, stop regarding man whose breath of life is where? In his nostril. He gives a hand example first, just the width of the hand. He was also saying that's how short man's life is, such as the breath. I tell you what, stop taking a breath in here and let me see where your life is after that. Now, don't do that. I'm just saying, just to understand the scripture. It's right here. Let me ask you this. Is breathing important? No, it's not important. Breathing is not important. I guess that's that boundary. Breathing is not, not important. What's another word I want to use for breathing? Essential. It's essential. You got to have that. Oxygen and air, all of that's got to happen. Yes. So it doesn't just become important. What's important is that you have more than one tub of hummus in the refrigerator. That's important. But it ain't essential. On some days, it might be essential. Okay, listen, listen. So there is a shortness to this life. There's a shortness to it. Don't take this day for granted. Take it as another day that has been granted. Some of y'all are going to figure that out at lunchtime, but that's okay, as long as you figure it out. Don't take it for granted. You didn't just happen to wake up on your own today. Somebody was orchestrating that. You didn't just get dressed here, because there's people right now that woke up, they didn't wake up in their right mind. Don't take this day for granted. Why did he give it to you? Why did he give it to you? Why, you could have been anywhere today, but you came to church. You know, I'm like this. If you go to a bakery, you're going to find cookies and cakes, right? Yeah, you go to a football game, you hope to find a football or two. You know, that kind of thing. So follow him. You come to church, you better be looking for Jesus. I'm tired of people coming into buildings and saying, I'm going to church, and they are the church. Okay, okay. I'm going to close with this one because it's my last one. After the shortness comes the security. And I put security right behind the shortness because even as short as this life can be, and I thank God that he's given me X number of years on this earth. I wish I'd known him long, but it wasn't in the plan for me to know him before then. That's why it's never too late. Security is bigger than everything. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Look, let's think through what security is. Matthew 28 and verse 20, after Jesus gave them instructions, he says, lo, I am with you. How often? Always. In the Greek, always means he ain't going nowhere. If anybody goes anywhere, it's us. He says, I'm with you always. Even when you're disobeying, he's with you. Guess what he's waiting for? Starts with an R. Repentance. So that revival can break out. Okay, listen, listen. So Psalm 139:6, I love this. When I used to read this and think about how powerful God is, the psalmist says, and David wrote this, we believe David wrote this, the psalmist says, you enclose me from behind and from in front. God encircles us. He's like a compass around us. His protection goes around us. Now, let me help you understand what this means. When Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17, keep them in your name, Father. I have been here on earth and I kept them in your name. He's talking about the disciples. He says, but now I'm coming to you. So keep them here on earth in your name. That's why it's important that you, if you're legit, if you're truly a child of God, make sure you're being kept in his name. Listen, you know what it means this. This is what it means. Because God has surrounded you, it means, and you can quote me on this, find the greatest theologian you know and say, Pastor Milton said this. That word kept in his name means Satan cannot get to you. That's what, hey, Lord, we popped out a hallelujah from the north over there. Yeah, 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 it took us a while. Yes, yeah, I'm saying if you get it, if you understand, Satan cannot lay one hand on you when you're being kept in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And that ought to rob you of your fear this morning. It ought to eliminate the fear. If you realize that whatever it is that you're going through and that you've blamed Satan for, he can't bother you. The only thing he can do is deceive you. And then he will allow you to jack your own self up. Because that's what he did with Eve. Eve had the word of God, and Satan talked her right out of it. Somebody say amen. Don't get quiet on me. Okay, okay, okay. But understand this, if you don't hear anything else, he has protected us. We are secure in him. Are you going to go through something? Whenever you go on a ship, if you're on a boat or a ship or whatever, and it takes a tumultuous a journey, if you're on the boat, you're going to go up and down, right? Because that's what the waves and the water are doing, right? But stay in the boat. In Christ is the boat. Go with whatever it is you're going through. Up and down, whatever that is. Understand, God controls wind, waves, and water. He controls it all. So if you're in the boat, just as Jesus said, let us go to the other side. He wasn't coming off that boat until, somebody help me, he got to the other side. I know that was a hard question. Yeah, no, that's when he was coming off the boat. Yeah, as evidence about him being asleep in the hull. I'm going to stop there. I could go on and on, and I know you're still do this because we're going to end a little bit different today. Do you have anything else to do after this?
One song.
You got one song? Yeah, can we get that song rolling right now? We can? Because we're probably not going to do it like you would. I want you all to stand to your feet, if you will. But you got to be quick, though, because Pastor Robert has already gave me that look. So I want to make sure I don't wear my welcome out. Don't worry about verses. You probably won't even get to those. But anyway, we don't know. Just right now, let's just do some music. Listen, I don't want you to get lost in the moment. And I also don't want you to leave here to say, boy, you know what? We had a good time in church today. I don't want to have a good time in church. I want to have a Jesus time in church. I want to have a time when we came face to face with the Lord. I'm going to pray. I want you to bow your heads. And then I want the Spirit of God to just do what he does. This is not about a man preaching and a man teaching and exhorting you. It was all of that. But the real work is in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in this moment. If you're here today, Father God, we do thank you for all of those that you brought to this place today. And Lord, if we had a laundry list of those who have cares of the world and troubles and trials that they're going through, that might be a pretty packed list. But nonetheless, Lord, we step aside from our list right now, from all of the things that trouble us right now, all of the things that hinder us right now, we step aside. And Father, we say, have your way in this moment, in that life.